Every couple of years, I pull out this Far Side cartoon because I think it presents in a picture something that would take me 1,000 words to say. So it should be a... And I don't know if you can see it, but there's a guy moving a wheelbarrow full of stones. And in front of them, there are two compatriots there who are full of despair. Their faces have despair on their faces. And they are sweating profusely. But if you look at the guy in the middle, he's not got any sweat at all. He's not sweating at all. In fact, he's chirping away, happy as can be, not an ounce of sweat coming off his body. And with respect to this guy, one devil says to the other, "You know, we're just not reaching that guy." And you can see there's a joy. There's a joy in him, right? Not even hell in its full force can overcome. And I wonder to myself about this. Where does this joy come from? What allows for him to be so full of joy that even his circumstances cannot overwhelm it? If you ask parents what they want for their children, most people don't have a specific idea in mind. Some parents, I want my kid to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, or I want her to, you know, be a successful scientist or whatever. But most people don't have it that specific. You ask them, they say, I just like my kids to be healthy and happy. I just want them to be happy. And I think that's a beautiful thing to ask for anyone, especially your children. I just want them to be healthy and happy, have good health and be happy inside. But you know, that word happy is a curious one. Originally, happy meant simply fortune. Hap literally means fortune. And you can see that in the word happenstance, which means coincidence, something that happens randomly. Later, happy came to mean good fortune. And then ultimately, good fortune got translated into the emotion of gladness that comes from good fortune. And that's our understanding of happy today. It's the feeling of gladness that comes from good fortune in life. And I think we all know what that feels like. I think we know what it feels like to experience that sense of gladness that comes from good fortune when things are going our way in life. I was at BGC on Friday evening playing games, and I had good fortune that night. My hunches were coming, were paying off a lot of the time. I was getting good cards, a lot of good cards. I was feeling the gladness of good fortune. It was a happy evening for me. Now, Karen, not so much, right? But that's just the way it goes, right? Happiness is the signal that things are going your way in life. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But it's kind of dangerous to stake your inner emotional well-being on good fortune, because there are nights at BGC where my cards stink. My hunches don't play out well, and I don't score very well, and I lose a lot. And on those evenings, I'm not feeling the gladness of good fortune very much. Now, I can't even tell you why one evening I'm experiencing the good fortune of game in my gameplay, and other evenings I'm experiencing bad fortune. It makes no sense, you know? And are we going to predicate our inner life on that, on the ups and downs of fortune in our lives? If this was just related to playing games at BGC, it wouldn't matter very much, but this happens in life too. You get the job promotion, right? Or the CT scan comes back negative. Or someone finds your lost wallet for you. Or your phone drops, but the screen doesn't crack. Or you get that acceptance letter to college, and you're happy because your circumstances are ones of good fortune. Why would you not be happy? But it could have just as easily gone the other way. You know, you didn't get the job promotion. In fact, you got a termination letter given to you instead. And the CT scan comes back positive. And it turns out your wallet wasn't lost after all. It was stolen, and people are now using your credit cards. And that phone that fell on the ground, well, the screen did crack after all. And the letter from the college is a rejection letter, not an acceptance letter. So when parents say that they just want their children to be happy, what I think they mean is that they want their children to enjoy good fortune. Whatever they're up to, they want them to enjoy good fortune. And therefore, the effect of good fortune, which is that feeling of happiness. But good fortune is the one thing we cannot guarantee anyone. Not even the people we love most. Brought home to me again when I met with the Logan family. You know, they were looking for good fortune and they didn't get it. And that gets me back to the guy in the picture. If you want to throw him up for one moment for me, just for a second, Debbie. There's something going on inside of him, but it's not based on good fortune, is it? Because think about it, he's in hell. He's in hell. He's in about the worst place one could imagine. Metaphysically speaking, he is in the worst place possible. And think about your own life. Think about the hard places you've been in over the years. Think about the difficult circumstances that you've endured, the hard times that you've gotten through. I remember a moment in my own life when I had these three huge, difficult waves of life crash down on me, one after another. Bam, bam, bam. And I look back and I don't even know how I got through it. I don't have a clue how I got through it, really. How did I make it through that moment in my life? I can't fully explain to you. It may actually have something to do with God. But I can't really rationally explain to you how I managed to get through that moment in my life where these three huge waves came down on me. And many people have these moments in life, and they're not just moments. They sometimes endure for long periods of time, too. As I say, I can tell you I had an extended period of life where there wasn't a lot of happiness for me because I didn't experience much good fortune in my life. And because I didn't have the experience of good fortune, I didn't have good reasons to be cheerful. And I suspect many of you know what I'm talking about from your own experience. Take your worst moment in life. Think about your worst moment. Take your worst moment. Take your hardest time in life and multiply it by 100 and tell me whether it's possible that you could find happiness in that circumstance. Whether in the very worst place imaginable, you could possibly feel the effects of good fortune. And this is where this guy in the cartoon finds himself. He's in a horrible place. He's in the worst place imaginable. And yet there he is whistling away, seeming to be upbeat about his circumstances. How can this be? Or the cartoon doesn't tell us. It's a one-panel cartoon. It's a one-liner zinger. It's meant for humor. But there's something really significant, profound going on in that little cartoon. And I can tell you one thing. What he is experiencing is not happiness. Not in the way that we understand it, at least. Remember, happiness is the feeling of gladness that comes from good fortune, but this guy is experiencing a type of gladness that has nothing to do with good fortune at all. Some people try to play mind games with themselves. Like they say, yeah, I'm going to use the power of positive thinking. Like, yeah, I know I'm in hell. I know I'm in hell, but you know, it's really not that bad. I think I can make it work. That's ridiculous, right? Do you know how many miles I've walked with a pebble in my shoe, thinking that it's going to get better? It never does, right? Even though I keep thinking it will, yeah. You know, there's another interesting Gary Larson Far Side comic where he lampoons this idea, and I've got it up there. And go to the next one because you can see it better. There's this guy, right? He's from the Old West. This is my other favorite Far Side cartoon. He's leaned up against a covered wagon. He's riddled with arrows. You can see an Indian in the background, on a horseback in the background, and he says to his friend, "Yeah, Clem, I hurt. But you know, it's a good kind of hurt." Yeah. I counted. He's got 9 arrows in him, right? You know, we try to pretend that it's not really that bad, you know? And we make light of really hard circumstances. I think of that movie Sophie's Choice, where she's forced to make a decision between which child she's going to save. Like, that's horrific. It destroys her, ultimately. And people face these kind of choices all the time in life. They face really hard circumstances. You have experiences of really hard circumstances, and you know people who've gone even further down the path of hardship. It's hard. Let's not pretend that these situations of life, which are very difficult or horrible, are really, in truth, not what they are. They are not always redeemable by the power of positive thinking. The guy's in hell. If he's experiencing some kind of upbeat emotion, it's not because he's convinced himself that hell isn't so bad after all. He hasn't redeemed hell by his positive thinking about it. Now, of course, it's just a cartoon. I understand that. But it's a metaphor for life as well. What are we talking about? What are we talking about to explain his happiness, a type of happiness, his gladness, even in the hardest of all places? And again, I want to stress to you, if we're able to remain upbeat in the hardest places, it's not because we've denied that they are not hard. So what are we really talking about in the cartoon and in life? And I kind of gave it away at the very beginning of the message, the word the Bible uses to describe the emotion of being upbeat in the hardest places. And it's a simple three-letter word, joy. Yeah, joy. And the key difference between joy and happiness is that happiness is the emotion of gladness that comes from the result of good fortune. But joy is the emotion of gladness that rests on an inner reality of contentment and peace. And whereas happiness can come and go quickly, right? Because fortune can change on a dime, just like that. And we all know this, and we have all endured this change in fortune. Joy endures because it rests on something that doesn't change. Because it doesn't belong to the world of up and down chance. And it's joy that's sustaining the guy in hell. His deep gladness comes from a joy that endures even in the midst of hardship. Now, Gary Larson doesn't tell us where the joy comes from. So the question remains, what is the source of joy that can allow us, you and me, to remain upbeat even in the hardest places of our lives? And the answer is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And some of you might say, well, why is that? Why is Jesus so connected to the reality of joy in my life? And the answer is because Jesus shows us who God is. He shows us the true nature of God, which is love. Because before Jesus, in the ancient world, if you believed in the gods, they proved to be fickle. You know, one day they're warm to you, the next day they're cold. One day they love you, the next day they hate you. Or you just give yourself over to chance. But we know that God is love. And we know that through Jesus. Jesus showed us that God is love. Jesus showed us that God is real. That God is real. Jesus showed us that God's love endures. And because God's love endures even in the midst of the horrors of life, even in the midst of the hardest circumstances that we've ever gone through, that God loves, endures, that we can too endure in them. Talk about hell on earth. The Son of God becomes one of us, assumes the burden of our sins on the cross, dies for us. And in this moment, there's no happiness for Jesus. There's no good fortune for him. And there's no happiness for God either. There's no good fortune for God in it. And yet there is a joy that endures to eternal life. Jesus is the source of joy because he promises to send us the Spirit of the Father to live in us, to wake up in us and shine out from us. The light of heaven shining out through you and me. The Spirit is the promise of God's constant collaboration with us in our daily experience. Jesus is the source of joy because he shows us that God is love, that God loves you. So what is the gospel? And it's that God loves you. You probably heard it a million times. God loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God loves you beyond anything you could imagine. How do you know that? Because Jesus showed you that. God loves us with a purity of love that many of us don't even know how to understand. How do we know that God loves us with that purity? Because Jesus showed us the purity of God's love in action in life. Jesus is the source of joy because he discloses the energetic nature of God. God is on the move. God is constantly at work in our life circumstances. We might not understand how it works. You know, one of our bedrock beliefs is God's ways, mysterious. We don't understand how it works, but that doesn't mean God's not on the move in our lives. Just because we can't figure it out doesn't mean it's not true. Jesus shows us that God is on the move in our life circumstances. He is not going to allow anyone to live in hell forever. Anyone. Did you hear the words of the psalm that Paul read today? Sing a new song to the Lord, for God has done marvelous things. God is on the move. God can overcome anything or anyone that oppresses you today. Israel was living in a profoundly difficult and hopeless situation. See, they lived in the world of chance. They still believed in the fickleness of God. They didn't know that God's love was steadfast and true. Their lives had been shattered by the crashing of wave upon wave in their circumstances. And because their fortune had turned sour, they believed that God's commitment and love for them had also been withdrawn from them. And they lived in the desolation of the knowledge that God had turned his back on them. At least that's what they believed. But it wasn't true. See, Israel didn't understand the true source of joy. They are still caught up in the fickle world of happiness. See, joy rests on the love that God has for you and for me, even in the hardships that we experience. God's active involvement in our lives is something we come to by a way of faith because we can't always understand it in the moment. Yet, the scriptures tell us and Jesus reveals to us, God is on the move. So maybe the guy in the cartoon who finds himself in hell but lives in the joy knows this because he knows Jesus. Doesn't say in the cartoon, but maybe he knows Jesus. He knows the true nature of God if he knows Jesus. If he knows Jesus, he knows that God is love. If he knows Jesus, he knows that God's love endures. Endures even in the hardest places. Because this guy knows Jesus, he has the living spirit of God in him. That's why the light of heaven is shining through him in the cartoon pane. That's why there's such joy on his lips, why he's chirping away. He's living out the light of Christ shining through him. He's revealing the purity of God's love, even in hell. Because this guy knows Jesus, he trusts in the energetic nature of God who will not allow him to live forever in these most hardest of all circumstances. He trusts that God will redeem him, will rescue him, will lift him out of his circumstances. It's because this guy knows Jesus that the one devil says to the other, you know, we're just not reaching this guy. And of course they're not reaching him. He's not listening to them. He's not paying attention to them. He hears a different voice. And if we draw close to Jesus, the one who's going to be born in Bethlehem, just in less than 2 weeks, the one we've been commemorating today, celebrating, lifting up, the one who is truly the Prince of Peace and the Son of God come amongst us. If we draw close to him, he will show us personally the true nature of God. If we stay close to the Lord in our hearts, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter where you find yourself or where I find myself, even in the hardest places, his love for us will endure. And this is why James, one of the Lord's brothers, can say to us even not to fear or flinch away from the trials of life, right? From the hardest places, from the shifting realities of fortune, from the places that will take away your happiness. Because we don't live in the world of happiness anymore. That's not our main point of focus in life. The trials and the difficulties, the hardships that come to us will test our faith and trust in God. It's our trials that will reveal the true joy that lies at the foundation of those who follow Jesus Christ. Jesus will reveal to us a joy that passes all human understanding. He will allow us to embrace the world of joy, leave the world of happiness behind, and embrace the world of true joy. This is what James says to us. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, endurance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is the gift of Christmas. Hallelujah.